I would like to call the June 20, 2024 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Commissioner Stanton, may we have roll call?
Yes. Ms. Lowe?
Here.
I'm here. Williams?
Here.
Spicer?
Here.
Wilson?
Here.
Mr. Ford?
Here.
All right. We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Zenner, are there any additions or changes to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Thank you. I'll take a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Ford, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. We have a motion to approve the agenda. I'll take thumbs up approval on the agenda. It appears unanimous. Everyone should have received a copy of the June 6, 2024 meeting minutes. Were there any changes or amendments to the meeting minutes? Seeing none, I'll take a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Ford. I'll take thumbs up approval of the meeting minutes. Unanimous. Thank you. That brings us to our first case for the evening, Public Hearings and Subdivisions, Case 158-2024, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Walter T. Sorrells and Dorothy M. Sorrells Family Trust, seeking approval to zone 18.62 acres to MC, mixed-use corridor, district zoning as permanent zoning subject to annexation. The property is currently zoned Boone County RS, residential single family, and is located at 1003 East Brown School Road. A concurrent request, case 159-2024, seeks to preliminarily plat the property in a single lot in preparation for future development. This item was tabled at the Planning Commission's June 6, 2024 meeting. May we have a report, please?
Yes, you may. Oh. So yeah, the first case tonight is 158-2024, which is a request to permanently zone 18.62 acres of land to the MC district upon annexation into the city. This property is located northwest of the intersection of Highway 763 and East Brown School Road, and it contains the address 1003 East Brown School Road. It's requesting MC, mixed-use corridor, for its permanent zoning upon annexation. And property owner letters were sent out on this 22nd of May, of which there were 7 letters sent out, and advertisement was placed in the Columbia Tribune on the 20th of May, and this was for its original June 6 hearing date before it was tabled. So this first slide is just some aerial imagery of where this site is situated and you know what other sort of uses exist around it. As you can see now to the east, on the east side of 763, there's Mosier's Food, along with a number of undeveloped lots to the south of it. Commerce Bank is in the southeast corner of this site, and then it's enveloped by some county light industry zoned county land. And directly to the south of this site, on the other side of Brown School Road, is Columbia Discount Mobile Homes and Cal Storage, and those are both in MC-zoned parcels. There's a mix of zoning around that area, and we'll see it in subsequent slides. And north of this site and to the east, directly abutting this site, is exclusively county single-family residential. Some of the parcels north of this, in this image, that are on the west side of 763, but in the county, are zoned commercial general, and those will be visualized on the next slide. So this I attempted to kind of splice over the county zoning along with the city zoning so you can have a better visual idea of what all of the uses are in the area. So we'll go into more specifics about all of these different districts and other slides. All the county zoning is contained within the red borders, and I've labeled as county zoning. As you can see, it's all nearly all entirely residential single family. In the north west corner of this intersection of East Brown School Road and 763. And then there's some commercially zoned lots just to the west, but farther north of our subject site, directly abutting 763. And all of the lots that touch the corner of this site are zoned MC. So a little bit of background information on this case. The applicant is requesting city MC zoning for the permanent zoning of the site, currently zoned RS County Single Family. There's a concurrent case for a preliminary plat related to this, which consolidates the five existing parcels into one lot, and that item will be introduced after the decision is made on this case. There are four existing structures on the site, two homes, two sheds. Access on the site will be provided from Brown School Road. And the site is bound to the east by Highway 763, County RS lots to the north and to the west, and East Brown School Road is binds the site to the south. So a little bit more information about the surrounding context of the site, as I promised a few slides back. So this site to the northeast is also zoned MC, but with a few PD sections, as you can see, particularly lying within the floodplain. The PD parcel that abuts 763 does contain the Mosier's food, but the rest of the MC lots to the south of that are vacant presently, and lot two of the MC lots that are north of where the Mosier's exists are also vacant. There is a Dollar General, I believe, at the corner of International Drive and 763 in that MC zoned lot, and the PD lot to the east of that is the Molly Bowden Neighborhood Policing Center. Otherwise, there's no development within that area. And then furthermore, the section northeast of the intersection provides some sort of transitional buffer between what we see as the MC and the PD uses here. And it has to the east of that MN and MOF districts that serve as some sort of buffer. Additionally, that abuts what is Edenton Boulevard, and then there's a right-of-way buffer that separates this area from what is R1 city-zoned property on the other side of Edenton. The site to the south has only development in two of the MC parcels that you can see, the ones that are north of the access drive, north but abutting the access drive that you can see. Those both contain development, and it is storage facility and a manufactured homes vendor. The remaining MC zoning on the site, along with the PD and the MOF and the RMF there, may not be developed until it is final platted. A preliminary plat has been recorded from that. The date eludes me, but there is no final plat for that site. And then the site to the southeast of this intersection of Brown School Road and 763 is also zoned MC and is the site of a Commerce Bank location. And like I mentioned, the rest of it is enveloped by that county ML land or light industry. So this slide is also just to help illustrate the areas I was discussing, particularly about the MOF and the MN buffer that exists by Edenton Boulevard. So where I've highlighted in red there, everything to the west, or not everything, everything between 763 and the west line of what I've drawn in this polygon to the east on the west side of Edenton is all zoned MC or PD, as mentioned previously. This buffer serves as some sort of transition between what are largely residential uses farther to the east on this site. And you can see the Mosier's and the just the end of the Molly Bowden Policing Center in this visualization as well. So the agent for this case was requesting MC zoning and has suggested the intended use is a veterinarian hospital. I want to note the veterinarian hospital includes the uses for both an animal shelter and an animal hospital, so how the Humane Society currently operates would be defined under this use. Veterinarian hospitals are by right permissible with use-specific standards in the MC zoning district and require a conditional use permit in the MN or the MOF districts. Staff instead suggested MC zoning as a more appropriate district for the site. MN zoning is what staff is suggesting. And this was communicated in the markup summary for the concept review associated with the request, as well as in rounds of review for the request itself. And ultimately, the agent elected to continue pursuing the MC zoning. Staff determined a mixed-use neighborhood district may be more appropriate on the site, provided the site's designation as a neighborhood and open space district in the Columbia Imagine Future Land Use Map. Additionally, the scale of the site and the abutting residential parcels, a CUP may be appropriate for the use of veterinarian hospital to assure mitigation of impacts where use-specific standards may fall short, completely abutting residential parcels again. Lastly, if this land is all zoned MC, there would not be a buffer of sorts between what is single-family county lots presently and potentially pretty intense commercial uses. Environmental factors on the site as well, where there's a floodplain slash floodway in the southeast corner of the site, may encumber part of it, which means development may be pushed to the north and the west of the lot, which is farther from the arterials and nearer to the single-family residentially zoned land. And I don't want to make it seem like we're assuming a worst-case scenario, and you know the most intense development will happen, but rather just considering all of what would be allowed if this were to be zoned MC in its entirety. These next slides should, I guess, wrestle with some of those particularities a little bit more. So concerns in zoning the entire area as MC are really distilled, in my opinion, to two main points. Inconsistencies with the abutting residential parcels, and secondly, not providing any sort of transitional buffer to the county's zoned RS parcels. As far as inconsistencies go, while there's automotive and some industrial-related uses on this around the area, these are uses, you know, mostly relegated to strips of land abutting 763 and would not be nearly as deep as this site would permit, as in going farther back the same direction as Brown School Road. And allowing the entirety of the site to be developed with MC uses would not be consistent with the residential nature that the property abuts. Notably, some uses like heavy commercial services, hotels, wholesale offices, or sample rooms would be permissible by right without use-specific standards, and that should be illustrated by this table here on the left on the slide. I apologize if the font is too small. There's just a lot to pack in there. And the bolded uses are those that are by right uses without use-specific standards. So those would be ones that would be more concerned about with abutting residential properties. And then perhaps most importantly, MN limits the density and scale of retail uses on the site through the use-specific standards, whereas MC does not really have a limit on the scale and volume of retail on the site. In MN, well, it would be restricted by whatever you could fit on there within the design regulations. So in MN, gross floor area for retail uses may not exceed 15,000 square feet total, except for grocery stores, where this may not exceed 45,000 feet. However, structures can be larger than 15,000 feet so long as the retail use is under 15,000 feet on the site. Secondly, again, this MC would not provide any buffer for the neighboring residential parcels. There would be no MN or no MOF buffer between this. While dimensional standards that provide additional setbacks for MC when neighboring a residentially zoned lot, the aforementioned increased possible density would still not be ideal when abutting the residentially zoned land. And like I was mentioning with the area of land that's kind of to the northeast of the aforementioned intersection, they do an efficient job of using a MN and an MOF district, as well as some right-of-way to serve as a buffer between more intense commercial uses and single-family residential. So ultimately, staff's opinion that MN is the appropriate zoning district on this site, particularly for three reasons. Firstly, lighter commercial uses on this site are aligned with the future land use designation as a neighborhood district, so it aligns with the comprehensive plan there. The site borders, or MN would align with the comprehensive plan there. Secondly, the site currently borders only residentially zoned property. If you say right-of-way is a border there. There is a right-of-way buffer between the site and all the other zoning classifications. If this has been identified as a neighborhood district per the future land use map, then it should fulfill the purpose of the neighborhood district, which is described as providing service in or near a residential neighborhood. I would certainly say this is near a residential neighborhood. And then thirdly, this provides greater control over potential impacts to the area regarding the intended use that may or may not be adequately addressed by use-specific standards. So in conclusion, staff supports MN zoning for this site due to the district's consistency with the existing zoning around the site, which are largely residential uses when not buffered by the right-of-way identified as a major arterial. And land use patterns presently and future land use patterns, as well as the described purpose of the MN zoning district in the UDC make MN the appropriate zoning district for the site. And this is, again, not in opposition to the idea of a veterinarian hospital on site, rather concerns that the use is permissible in the MC district may result in incompatible land uses with the existing environment and surrounding area. So ultimately, it's staff recommendation to deny the proposed MC zoning of the site, and I'd be happy to answer any questions y'all may have.
Thank you, Mr. Kuntz. Before we move on to questions for staff, I'd like to ask any commissioners who have had any ex parte related to this project to please share that with the commission now so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? If there are none, we will open up the floor to public comment. Please give your name and address for the record. We do limit comment to 3 minutes for an individual and 6 minutes if you're speaking for a group.
Members of the Commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. That's going to buy me a little more time, maybe.
We won't start the clock.
I woke up this morning and I wondered if I needed to show up today because news outlets were reporting that the commission was going to deny this tonight. So I'm not sure if I even need to be here tonight, but I'm going to give my presentation anyway. I had several texts and emails all of a sudden blowing up my phone, and apparently one of the news outlets got a hold of staff report and said it was basically a done deal, is going to be denied. So that was interesting. So I'm going to just briefly just give a little brief while we're working on this. I'm here tonight. Michelle Casey's with me here tonight, as well as Paul Land. Michelle Casey is the executive or the associate director and campaign director for the Central Missouri Humane Society. Also, which she'll speak briefly, and so is Julie Aber, the executive director, as well as Bob Churchill, president of the board. There we go. Thank you. Great. Thank you. I believe the overview is pretty straightforward. I think that's very similar to what Mr. Kuntz presented. Normally, I stand up here and I say we concur with staff, and we, you know, I did a very good, thorough staff report. In this case, I take exception to some of the items in there, and so respectfully, this doesn't happen very often, and so I'm respectfully going to disagree with some of their comments in the staff report that we'll go over here briefly. Again, location, you're familiar with the location map of the site. Similar to what Mr. Kuntz had, I had issues and problems trying to mesh county zoning and city zoning into a single map, so mine aren't nearly as nice as his, but you can kind of see similar to what we have shown here, the site in the middle of the the subject site in the middle of the slide. The red is MC, the purple is or the light purple is ML, and then you got PD, which is the other purple, and the yellow is residential. I would like to note that when we talk about residential property in this area and trying to transition down, the adjacent properties are larger, older, larger tracts, and we'd certainly anticipate that they would redevelop as you go through in the future. When you zone out just a little bit, I think this is an important slide. When you zoom out just a little bit and start looking at this corridor, we always refer to 763. I grew up in that area, not too far from this site. It was always called Rangeline Corridor, 763 Corridor. It's exactly what it is. It's a corridor. And you can kind of see the corridor up and down. You see all the red, all the purple, industrial and MC zoning. There's not a piece, one little piece over here on the far left side that's MN. All the rest of it is industrial and MC zoning, or CG in the county zoning. Preliminary plat, we can talk about that if you need to. That's going to come up possibly at the later tonight. The star represents the subject property. This is a snippet from CATSO, from the major roadway plan. The two dashed purple lines are major arterial roadways. There's not very many intersections of two major arterials that we have in town. Behind that, the orange line is a local non-residential street. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail. Again, let's back up here just a bit. Zoom out. Again, the purple lines are the major arterial roadways. We're right at the intersection of two major arterials. The next intersection of two major arterials going south toward town on 763 is at the business loop. That's how far down you have to go to, you know, Smiley Lane and Big Bear and all those other intersections, Blue Ridge Road. None of those are intense or as intense as that intersection will be. Now let's look at the orange lines on both sides. Both on both sides of the corridor, if you will. You'll start to see that it's being framed with what I'd refer to as a rear ridge road. So you can kind of see that framework. And what goes between the rear ridge road and the main corridor itself is more intense, higher uses. Let's zoom out again. This is kind of hard to see. There's our star pointed in the top. But you can see why is that a major intersection of two major arterials? Is because it's going to be one day the connector between I-70 and 63. So it's a major intersection. What's the purpose of the rezoning? Well, first of all, MN zoning does not allow the proposed use without a CUP plan. The issue that we have right now is we don't have a building size, a layout, a configuration. All those things are unknown at this time. We don't know how we're going to lay out that site exactly. We know that we want to preserve green space. We want to have open space. We want to have other mission partners included in this project with us. Potentially, they're not needed. They're not going to be the driving factor, but we'd like to account for some of those. A private vet. Other entities like that. The first question that the board gets asked and the first question that Michelle gets asked when she's raising funds is, where are we going? They have a lot of donors that want to donate money to this project, but they want to know where it's going first. And so for them to come in here and say, okay, we're going to spend a lot of money on building plans, this isn't the first site that they've looked at. They'd had other sites that they've looked at. And the concern with that is every site has a different building that goes on it. And every time you redesign a building, it just takes a lot of money, working with architects, trying to lay it all out. And that's what we have to do here. So if we have to go basically through a plan process, it's very costly to do so. So why here? So the proposed site gives us the room to grow. It's something that they don't have now. If you're familiar with the Humane Society, they don't have a lot of space. It also allows for that green space and open space that they would like, and it also allows for their partners. So here's some responses I would have to some of the staff comments. First of all, Highway 763 serves as a buffer to the east, and Brown School Road serves as a buffer to the south. So if that's the case, if they're talking about buffers are going to, you know, those major roadways are going to be buffers from the MC with the adjacent properties, we have a rear ridge road. What's the difference in that rear ridge road and these rear ridge roads? All of those out there have high intense commercial uses up along 763, and they have residential behind them. That's similar to what we're asking for in our request. If you look at the definition of major arterial, you can look and see what it says. This comes right out of Columbia Imagined. There are major roadways that handle the bulk of the through traffic within the city. Now look at the local non-residential. Now this is the rear ridge road that CATSO says we have to have on the backside of our property. It says that it is a low volume, low speed street that provides access to commercial, industrial, institutional, and other intensive land uses. So if we're going to have a rear ridge road back there, CATSO is saying that they're going to, you know, it's supposed to be there for intensive land uses. So I believe that MC is the appropriate use for that specific purpose. Let's go back and look at the dashed lines there again. Those dashed lines are the local non-residential streets that parallel 763. And you can kind of see how they act as rear ridge roads through there. How you have a lot of areas, you have the residential beyond that. And so we anticipate that same thing happening here. As the land west of this property would redevelop, it could redevelop in transitional zoning, just like it did south of our property on the other side of Brown School Road. When you see that has MOF and PD, they didn't do it up at the intersection, they did it further back on their property. That's what can happen, exactly what can happen west of this development. The next item says the zoning zoning the entirety of the site to MC would permit commercial uses too intense for the abutting properties. We have written or verbal approval from our neighbors. Now, this isn't all the neighbors that we have approval from. We have others as well. We didn't feel comfortable putting it up there because I wanted to hear it themselves. But these are the property owners that we spoke to directly that gave us a letter or gave us verbal approval. They're okay with not only the MC, but also the use that we have. That we understood, we went through, and we told them what we're doing. It's for the Central Missouri Humane Society. Those residents had no concern with it. There's a couple of, I think you have those letters. There's copies of them as well. Some of the MC uses that are permissible by right have no use-specific standards that would be inconsistent with abutting parcels. Again, we have support from our neighbors. So the MC uses that are permissible by right have no use-specific standards and would be consistent with the abutting parcels. The neighbors understand what we're doing here. They're okay with that. The UDC has neighborhood protections in place, and furthermore, there's use-specific standards for our specific use that pushes us off those property lines. So if you have a kennel or an animal hospital, we're 200 feet away from those residential uses, much further than any other setback.
Mr. Crockett, can you go back?
Yes, ma'am.
Or forward to the neighbors?
Yes.
So I don't see a letter from the neighbor to the north. And northwest, but
those are the ones we have verbal.
You have
the
one, verbal?
Yes, that is, right. That is Mr. Wheeler. I don't believe Mr. Wheeler is
I don't
here
see
tonight.
Him.
No, we have met with him several times. Myself, I've met with him. Mr. Land has met with him. I think the Central Museum, the Humane Society has met with him, and he's given us verbal that he's fine with it.
Thank you.
Break it now. There we go. Okay. I'll wrap it up here. So, you know, the requested zoning district is considered inconsistent with the neighborhood district designation for the property as shown on the feature land use map in the City of Columbia. Similar MC zonings have been granted throughout City of Columbia in neighborhood districts. The land use map may not show those now because it's been modified after those have been granted. There's been several. I briefly looked at it. There was on Grindstone, out at Lake of the Woods, over on Scott Boulevard. So it's not inconsistent to look at that. I think that some of the age of the land use map may be out of date in some places. And so I know this has been done numerous times before in the past. And so this is, you know, no different we could ask for here. While all the other quadrants of the intersection have MC zoning, none of them adjoin a legal residential zone lot at the lot line. They have roads which provide a buffer between their commercial industrial developments and the homes. Okay, that's important there. So as they have roads which provide a buffer. Well, I'm gonna go back to this slide. We're gonna have a road on our far west side that provides that buffer. So it's there. We're not constructing it. We're granting half the right of way, but that road will be planned and it'll be constructed at some point. And then this comment, I think this is, nothing against Mr. Coons, I think this one, this is how it reads. None of the property north of Brown School Road and west of 763 in both the city and county is zoned anything but residential. I think that was, it may just be, nothing against that. I just wanna make sure that if you read that as commissioners, that you didn't think that there wasn't already commercially zoned property in that area. So you can see it through here. So I just wanted to clarify that. And so in conclusion, you know, we believe that the proposed site is located at a major future intersection for North Columbia, two major arterial roadways. The proposed zoning to MC is consistent with other zonings up and down Highway 763, and the MC is consistent with other intersections in the City of Columbia. The applicant has support from his neighbors. You can see here tonight that I believe that, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I believe most of the folks in the crowd tonight are in support of this development. I don't think we have any opposition here tonight. The neighbors have been advertised, it's been out there, they've been notified, and they're not here tonight. And they're not here tonight because they're okay with what we're proposing. The UDC specifically addresses additional protections needed for varying zoning classifications. So MC backing up to County RS, there's zoning, there's protections in the UDC. That's what the UDC neighborhood protections was created for. And it's worked great in other locations. It can work for that here. And then of course, the future land use map, we've already kind of talked about that. And so with that, Commission, I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Are there any questions for the speaker? Commissioner Stanton.
Crockett. Love the presentation. Agree with it in part. So what's the problem with MN? On part of the land. I want to be a win-win, but I'm assuming you want to ride or die with this vote up or down, MC or nothing, right? Is it what we're going to go with, or we got room for compromise?
Well, I mean, I think the issue with MN, Mr. Stanton, is the uncertainty, and not on behalf of the vote on P&Z or county, or excuse me, city council later on, but it's the uncertainty in how we're going to develop the site long-term. You know, if the intent is to make it a larger campus, have an open green space. But we don't know how the building's gonna fit. We don't know what the building's going to look like. We don't know exactly where the dog runs are. We know that we have setbacks to adhere to. We wanna work with the existing pond and the existing floodplain and all of that to have that open space and trails and outdoor space for the animals at the shelter. we want to have those opportunities for someone who's looking to come in. You know, you go in now, you see a puppy, and you can play with it inside. We want an outdoor area as well. We want them to be able to take it on a walk and walk around the pond and the, you know, the animals get, you know, get exercise. The concern with that is every time we make a change, we're going to have to come back through this commission, because our CUP plan, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know who our future mission partners are going to be out there, whether it's going to be, you know, a private vet or a small retail pet shop that goes, you know, very small, that goes, you know, with what we're looking for. Every time we do that, we're going to have to come back in. We don't know where we're going to site our building. We don't know how we're going to site those future pad lots either. And so that's the concern. Absolutely, we've looked at that. We did look at that. That was part of the reason why this was tabled for 2 weeks, is that we weren't prepared because staff insisted that we look at it again. We certainly did. We understand that. We took their advice. We looked at it, and this is what we came back with.
So quiet the city staff's fears of the MC zoning, that it's going to allow things in the future. I mean, you're talking right now. You know us as a commission, we got to think 50 to 100 years down the road. Talk to me about, quiet my fears that the staff is presenting in this report.
Okay, let's look at other places where we have high intense commercial zoning next to residential areas. Has it worked? Has neighborhood protections worked? Yes. I think it's worked out very well, and I think it can continue to work out well. Our UDC was based on that principle that we don't want to go with planned district. Now, while this conditional use permit isn't a planned district, but basically we have to present a plan that's very similar to that of a planned zoning district. And the point of the UDC was to get away from those and to utilize the neighborhood protections and the use-specific standards to their fullest to protect neighboring properties adjacent to certain uses. And I think the UDC has worked out very well. And I think that we can do that in this location as well. Now, if we didn't have a neighbors on board, I think it may, you know, that's a little bit more of an uphill battle. But we also have neighbors who are supportive of what we're doing. And so they're going to be understandable in what we're trying to achieve. And so to answer your question, I hope that did answer it. But I think we let the processes and procedures and the documents that we have right now work as they should be.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional questions for the speaker? Commissioner Williams.
Thank you. For it's to follow up on Commissioner Stanton's question, I guess if you could go to the initial plot diagram.
The preliminary plat?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess two things. The one is, I don't see a scale on there, so I'm trying to conceptualize what 200 feet from the north side of the lot would be.
Okay, Mr. Williams, I'm trying to think here. So you see that the variation on the far left side of the page, you see that the right-of-way that runs north and south.
Okay, mm-hmm.
That right-of-way, I believe, is 33 feet. So that's a 33-foot half right-of-way for that future road that runs through that, the future local non-residential. And so if you can conceptually see, okay, so that's going to be about, from that point, it's about six of those further over is 200 feet.
Okay.
So it's pushing that limit. So that far north corner, you know, and that's not just off that property line, but it's also for the north property line as well coming down. And so, you know, we have 200 feet off the west line and 200 feet off the north line as well. So there's a substantial amount of area that we have for setback there.
And then the second question, and this is probably more towards Commissioner Stanton's point, is the southwest, what's currently the southwest, I guess, plot is, based upon the where the pond is and the drainage, it seems like that's the most likely building space. Is that not large enough to have that be MC and then the rest of it be zoned separately?
If I guess my comment to that would be that kind of, if we're trying to buffer what Mr. Williams, what you're saying is, if you're trying to say, let's take the southwest corner, that's the most developable, most logical location for development, and zone that MC and the rest of it MN, what that kind of does is that kind of defeats what staff is trying to do, is stair-step that zoning further as we go west. And so, you know, by just keeping the north MN, I mean, I think that possibly could, you know, potentially work for us, but the concern there is if we have to come back with a CUP plan, anything along those lines, you know, I still think that the concern is trying to step that zoning down. Staff wants to step the zoning down from east to west, and in doing that, we're taking the westerlymost portion and keeping it MC. We're kind of stair-stepping it down in reverse order there, I guess is what I'm saying. And so I don't think that that would achieve staff's goals.
With the drainage in the southeast lot, though, is that, I mean, is that buildable there?
No, I mean, there's three things there. There's floodplain. Now, floodplain has, you know, there's certain procedures and processes we can do to develop in the floodplain according to FEMA and the City of Columbia, okay? But that's limited, very limited. But the two that really restrict us through there, and they're very restrictive, is one is there is a stream buffer. There's a City of Columbia stream buffer that runs through there that regulates that, as well as FEMA floodway. So there's floodplain and floodway. And so there's those two items, floodway and stream buffer, that would restrict the development in that location.
So to your point, though, as far as the east to west, if it's not really developable in the southeast plot, then I don't know that it undercuts what the staff is recommending. If it's the unlikely that there would really be any development in that particular quadrant anyway, then the fact that that was MN and then you have to the west of it and MC, I don't know that that necessarily undercuts what they're trying to do.
I mean, I guess if we came back in and just rezoned the stream buffer and that low-lying area MN, I mean, it's kind of undevelopable anyway. So whether it's MC or MN, it's not really, it's not restricting us any further. It's just, all due respect, I don't see it serving, you know, solving a problem is what I'm saying. I guess we could do it. I don't have an issue with that.
I was just responding to your comment.
It'd be a split zone tract, which is somewhat different. Staff doesn't like that. Not applicants don't like that either, typically. But I guess if the commission so desired to make the recommendation, I guess we could.
Any additional questions, Mr. Williams?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Commissioner Placer.
I'm going to return to what Commissioner Stanton also asked. That is, we're supposed to give blanket MC zoning to this, despite the fact that by right, there would be all that list of possibilities. And so you can see why we would be hesitant to do that, because then maybe there would be a bar going, or who knows what. I mean, it would be by right. We would never get a chance to look at it again,
right?
Nor would the neighbors. So what assurances, if any, would we have? Just trust in...
You know, I'm not, you know, yeah, I'd love to say trust in us to do what we say we're going to do. And I mean, we can say that until we're blue in the face. We've done that many times before, and you certainly are aware, Ms. Place. What you're referring to is you believe that Central Missouri Humane Society has full intention on doing what they're doing. But what if?
Yeah.
What if the what if happens? You know, that's what we have to look at. That's what you're asking for. And I think that if the what if happens, again, I think that the UDC was strictly written for specific uses just like this. I mean, if whether it's MC or MN, our setback is going to have to be the same according to the use-specific standards, okay? The neighborhood protections are going to be the same. So for our use, there's other uses in there, screening requirements between, I mean, it's the most heavy screening requirement between MC and residential, okay? I think we also have to step back just a little bit and look at this. Let's go to this one, and let's look at long term. If we zone this MN, are we saying that the rest of that property is never going to be a transitional zoning? Is it never going to come in for rezone? I don't know that. Maybe it does. Maybe it stays large acreage tracts forever. I don't know. But the idea there is those residents. You know, we've asked, been many times. This commission has asked us, go talk to the residents. Go get their support. Go let them know what's taking place. We've done that. We've done what this commission has asked us to do. And we've brought letters and we've brought support to you. And I think that carries a lot of weight with when the neighbors say, listen, you know, zone your property We're in support of it. And if I want to live next to it, that's okay. I supported that zoning.
Just as a follow-up, the letters that we have received all refer to the Central Missouri Humane Society.
That is correct.
And wanting that to be there. They may not be aware that MC would allow many other things to be there. What disclosure do they have of that possibility?
We discussed that with them being MC. We understood, you know, we're asking for MC zoning, period. And the Central Missouri Humane Society would like to go here. So basically, we explained both of those scenarios to them. It's not that we want your support for the Central Missouri Humane Society. We're asking for MC zoning, and the Humane Society would like to go here. So we made it clear that both of those, that there is a distinction between those two.
Any additional questions? Mr. Crockett, I have a question. How big acreage-wise is the pond?
I can tell you.
I'm just going to guess, shoot off the top of my, you know, just winging it here, Ms. Lowe. I'm going to say a couple acres.
Two to three. And where I'm going with that is?
One. Oh.
One?
Okay. It looks like quite a bit small. Okay.
Maybe during the drought season or. So currently their lot's 2.8 acres, I believe.
Yes.
On the assessor's site. And you were offered a site that was 4.6 by the city, and that was too small. So how much land is needed? And I'm going to pull 2 acres out for the pond just because it's irregular shaped. So we're looking at 16 acres. Part of me is wondering, will the whole site be used for the Humane Society, or is there area left over?
There's going to be some area left over. And so, again, with the Mission Partners, I think Ms. Casey might be able to speak to that a little bit on what they envision to have as a campus out here, not just the Central Missouri Humane Society, but other Mission Partners out there that, you know, can have either non-for-profit or for-profit entities that would coincide with the Humane Society and their mission, you know. And so I think that they can envision, you know, couple other of those out here, nothing large, nothing major, but more than just the Humane Society potentially.
Thank you. Any additional questions? I see none. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's any additional speakers, please come up. And again, we need your name and address for the record.
My name is Michelle Casey. I'm the Associate Director and the Campaign Manager at the Central Missouri Humane Society, and my home address is 1803 Topsail Drive, 652. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm here mostly to talk about the building. I have been involved with Humane Society since I was 18 years old, and when I first walked into that building, I knew that this was not okay. They needed a new building 20 years ago. They needed a new building 30 years ago. And we've gotten to the point where we just cannot really operate out of this building the way that we need to. And what we're really worried about is in the near future, we're not going to be able to operate out of this building at all. And I'm not sure what this city would do if we weren't able to operate, and specifically Animal Control, who is run by the city, because they are one of our biggest partners. And we love the relationship we have with Animal Control, and we're certainly building them space in this new facility as well. Our current building, if you've not been there, it has heavily degraded over the years. We've been there since 1976. Not only that, but when this current shelter was constructed, the population of Columbia was nearly half of what it is now. So now there is much greater need in the community, not just for pet owners, but just for lost and unwanted pets in the community as well. So we know what we need. We have really considered this MN zoning, and while it does meet some of the needs of our organization, We're just worried how that might inhibit us in the future. Because what we really want to do is we don't just want to have an animal shelter. We want to create a campus. We want this to be a resource center for this community, because that's what we are. We serve this community and these pets and these people. And so we want to build a campus. We are in the animal business. We do not want to bring in an auto store or a bar. That is, we are strictly animals. But we do want to have a resource center, because not only do we want to be able to take care of these animals in the shelter, but we want to create safety nets to keep them from coming into the shelter in the first place. And that may be a partnership with a groomer, maybe a pet store, any way that we can impact animals and keep them in their loving homes and out of the shelter, that's what we're trying to do. We've been continuously in operation since 1943, so we know what we need to operate, but we also know what we need to grow and evolve as an organization. And that's what we've tried to do over all of these years. It's been many years in operation, and we believe that this site is going to be just a wonderful site for us. We were offered the 4.5 acres on Strawn Road, and after working with Tim, we decided against that road or that land. While we were grateful for the city to offer it, it was going to be too costly to actually get ready to build. So to make that site ready, it was going to cost over $1 million. And that was just not something that our donors were really receptive to. They really want their dollars to go towards the animal care, towards those animal housing areas, not $1 million to go towards dirt work. So this property here, Tim has looked into this and said, you know, with the dirt work that we need to do, we won't have to bring any in and out. We can just use what's on the property. So I believe, Tim believes, and I think my staff stands behind us, that the MC zoning is going to be correct just for the future of our organization, and I would hope that you all would consider it.
Thank you. Any questions for the speaker? Commissioner Stanton.
Oh my gosh, I love your organization.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Something twanging, and my instincts are
give
very
me the twang.
Sharp.
What is it?
I feel like there's a.
What is it? Come on.
I feel a hoodwink somewhere, and I don't know where it's at. I'm just trying to figure it out.
I understand but that. I would hope that as the Central Missouri Humane Society, you
well,
would trust
it. It may not be you. I mean, I guess where I'm at is I'm kind of like with my fellow commissioners. I hate to even ask this. Are you guaranteed good if we give you this? I mean, nothing is to stop my buddy that just left the podium. And I say, hey, I give you everything you want, and then you guys back out of the deal, the funding falls through, or some of you find another spot that's better than this. And now I've given the keys to the castle. You see, that's our biggest thing. It's our, and I don't know if my fellow commissioners agree, we give you MC, it kind of works like, you know, it's like algae, you know, it grows here, then the neighbor's going to want it, you know, then it grows out, and then we're running into residential. There is a lot of residential kind of off to the side, you know, behind and around your property that you're looking at. Those are our concerns. It's not you in particular. It's just the power we're giving you with the zoning. So, can you guarantee this is good for this? That this is yours? If we give you what you're asking for?
You give us what we're asking for, and this property will be the home of the Central Missouri Humane Society for the next 100 years. I can guarantee you that. And our life saving will also increase, because what we've been able to do out of this current building with the restrictions that we have, the space restrictions, part of our building now doesn't even have air conditioning. I mean, not just for the animals, but for the staff too, it can be just miserable. So I'm telling you that this piece of property, I know in my heart, because we've looked at enough of them and I've been involved with this organization since I was a teenager, this is the property for us. And if you will allow that MC zoning, this will be our home and this will be where we continue to make an impact in this community.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? I see none. Thank you. Any additional speakers on this case?
Step up.
Please come up to the podium.
Hi. My name is Bob Churchill. I live at 1119 North Shore Drive. I am the president of the board of directors of the Central Missouri Humane Society. And I just wanted to let you know that the board endorses and supports the proposition for this to be MC zoning. We've discussed this. I can also tell you about, I don't want to take a lot of time here, I'm not only on the board and president of the board, I volunteer there two afternoons a week. And that building is falling apart. We have to move. I've been working with these people for a while now, and we are not going to do something stupid with that property. The last thing in the world we want is to have a bar next to the Humane Society. We are in dire needs of moving and having a new building. The place is crumbling. You've probably seen on the news the last year or so, big chunks of the ceiling have fallen down in that building, and you could look up and see blue sky. Luckily, no staff or animals have been hurt, but we are really in dire straits in terms of moving to a new facility. And I can tell you the first question donors ask me is, fine, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? They want to know where that building is going to be. We're just three stoplights north of where we currently are, so it's an area that people are already familiar with. And it's the land is a nice piece of land, and we just want to move on and do the best for the animals and the city of Columbia, because there's no place else to take these stray animals. And they are multiplying every year as the population grows. So thank you.
Thank you. If you'll wait 1 minute, are there any questions for this speaker? Commissioner Stanton.
So you're putting your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Personally. I do. I don't serve on boards. I've been on six boards since I retired 12 years ago from the University of Missouri. I don't serve on boards and just go to board meetings. I donate and I volunteer for each of the organizations that I have served on their boards. So I put my money where my mouth is. Thank you.
Additional questions for this speaker? Commissioner Williams.
To Commissioner Stanton's point, I'm curious if you could overview for us what gives you confidence in the Central Missouri Humane Society's ability to maintain funding over the next several decades? I think the concern that I have, I won't impart this to the other commissioners, is not that I would hope that this would happen, but the concern I have is that something would happen that you wouldn't be able to make your obligations, or that in the future someone decided that to sell the property, and then it's MC. So in 30 years, we then have a situation where something less desirable to the neighbors is built there because it's owned by someone else. So can you speak to that, please?
Well, what I can tell you is that fundraising had been slow for a while. COVID didn't help things. We started talking about this, around that time, and that really, slowed things down. But I can tell you as of recently, people that we have talked to and talked about a new building and a new site, fundraising has really gone up. We have probably raised more money in the last 6 to 12 months than we've had in the whole previous time. People are very excited about this. I'm surprised at how many people actually know about the Humane Society. I've personally adopted three dogs from the Humane Society, and I just adopted a 12-year-old boxer 2 weeks ago. And one of the, besides him being a very sweet dog, is who is going to adopt a 12-year-old boxer? People want puppies and younger dogs. But I am very confident, the contacts that I have made with people around town and talking about fundraising, everybody is in support of this. I think that we have now gotten past a point where it looks like we are going to do this and raise all the money. Whereas I would say 2 years ago or so, you know, you'd be scratching your head and say, can we really do this? But I am absolutely convinced now that we are well on our way and we're going to do this. And the people, I can't speak for the people in the future that are going to run the Humane Society, but if they're anything like the people who've been there since it started, I wouldn't have any concerns about how they're going to use that land in the future.
And a follow-up question is, are you intending to finance the buildings that you're putting on the property, or are you intending to raise fully the amount of capital that's required to build them?
Well, I'm not chairman of the finance committee. I would hope that we would raise all of it pretty soon. We're getting, you know, fairly close. But in order to get the project moving, because we have to get out of this building, it's dangerous. That is a dangerous building to be in. We would be willing to, I think, finance some to get this thing. We'd like to break ground this year, if at all possible, because I invite any of you to go over and visit the current building and take a look and see what condition it is in, and you would say, boy, you need to go someplace else.
Any additional questions, Commissioner Williams?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any additional questions for the speaker? I see none. Thank you. Any additional speakers on this case?
Commissioners, my name is Paul Land. I'm a real estate practitioner with Plaza Commercial Realty, and I represent the Sorrells, who are the property owners of this property, whom I met about 20 years ago. And they have considered selling this property since that time. That's the life of a real estate broker. I'm not complaining. I entered the industry and stayed with it. But until the Sorrells elders died, the family wasn't really in a position to sell this property. They put that property on the market about a year ago, coincided nicely with the CMHS desire to own real estate and upgrade their facility. I've lived in Columbia for 40 years and I've practiced commercial real estate in this community for 37 of those. In my career, I've never seen a facility in more critical need of replacement than that facility in this community. All my business is done within a 15-mile radius of this building. I've never seen such a need. There are projects that appear before you that are projects of desire, and there are projects that appear before you that are absolutely critical need. This is a critical need, and I hope you will consider granting this request. I personally visited with the two adjoining property owners to the west and to the north when we first listed the property in advance of the discussions with CMHS. I asked them if they would support MC zoning on this property. They stated they would. They've lived with that and stayed with that commitment. They see the future of that as MC. Frankly, I would advise my seller, if they had to hold a desire to go through this arduous process. It's an arduous process to ask for a rezoning. It's expensive, it's time consuming, it's not for the faint of heart. It's intimidating. They decided they would prefer to wait till an end user appeared to help mitigate the fears of that. I think you've got that end user today that helps you to mitigate those fears. To address some of the other questions here, as to what the future use of this will be, I don't envision these people selling off or developing this property in any way that would interfere with their own mission. This is being platted as a single lot. To sell off any of this portion in the future will require a plat. That plat requires that it come before you and before the city council. They don't like who's going in on that. That's an opportunity to deny that plat. You have control. I want you to take control today. You have the authority. You have the ability. You have the obligation that when an error is made in the judgment, and I get along with city staff, we probably disagree 5 to 10% of the time, but 90% of the time we're on the same page. We're all human, we can all make an error. But I think they made an error in recommending NM zoning. I think if you would stand back and look at that map, the other three corners are zoned MC, any logical person would step back and say that ought to be MC zoning too. It matches the property line of the property immediately to the south. It's not egregiously going west. It's not egregiously going north. And the city's getting something in this bargain. They're getting a 33-foot wide granted easement or right-of-way on the west side of this property for a future road. They're getting that for free. So I guess, in summary, I think this ought to be supported. I'd like to appeal to your interpretation that this is the correct zoning for this parcel.
Thank you, Mr. Land. Before you leave the podium, I believe Ms. Commissioner Stanton has a question for you.
Hold up, Mr. Land.
I would be surprised
Hold
if
up
you didn't.
If I was your client and I lived on East Nance, what's that?
Say it again.
I lived on East Nance and I was your client.
East Nance.
That's north of the proposed property.
North of this property.
Yes.
Yes.
What would you advise me if I was
on Nance?
Basically, yes. And I was
two properties on Nance are zoned commercial right now.
Okay. Say I have a house there because there's residential.
Well, they do, but there. They're zoned commercial in the county.
So what would you tell me? I know what it's zoned, but I'm there as a resident.
They have the opportunity to pose that right now, don't they?
I know. I'm asking you as a real estate proprietor, what would you tell me as your client?
Well,
if it was getting ready to be MC, and I'm residential, and to the south of me is getting ready to be heavy, the potential could be heavy industrial. You as a real estate proprietor, what would you tell me if I was your client? And I lived on that street. I lived in any of those.
Sir, I live in a world of commercial real estate. I could not advise you on a residential property. I've never sold leased a residential property.
Okay, but you just told me that it's commercial now, but I'm using it as a residential. So what would you advise me?
Well, I think they know what's coming, don't you? When I think they made decisions to buy where they are now based on zoning that surrounds that area. I don't see this particular parcel as being anything different than that already exists in that area.
Thank you.
Mr. Land, just for a point of clarification, the four parcels bordered by Brown School Road and 763, do those encompass all of the parcels owned by the Sorrells in that area? I mean, do they own any property adjacent to that?
No. The property lying to the west is owned by Gary Fowle, a property lying, who's educated and I don't know if he still practices real estate. I guess he does, but he understands. And a property to the north is owned by Doug Wheeler, who's also a real estate broker, former member of this commission. Both support this. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Any additional speakers on this case? If there are none, we're going to close public hearing and move into commission discussion. Commissioner Stanton.
Okay. Mr. Land kind of answered my fears. I served with Mr. Wheeler on this commission. The real estate guy to the west of this is a real estate guy. So if we gave them MC and two heavy hitter real estate guys own the surrounding property, and they're good, I know Mr. Willard personally, the good businessman, if they had an opportunity to make this MC and they're real estate guys, I think they'd do it. And that would make all of that land MC. Now, we're taking care of the Humane Society. Okay, we'll do that. But what about the rest of that? And that would run right up to all that residential that's kind of buffered at this time. But it's buffered by land that's owned by some pretty heavy-hitting real estate guys.
Speculating.
I know Mr. Wheeler. I don't know how to speculate. I know that guy. Well,
I know him, too.
So that if I was a businessman and I had an opportunity to make that MC, I would do that.
That's not what's on the docket right now.
I don't care what's on the docket. I'm talking right now. I have the floor. And I have a right to express my opinion on what's at on hand, which is MC versus MN, which is supported by staff as MN. So I'm trying to convince myself why I should go against professionals that say MN is the best zoning and convince myself that MC isn't. So this has something to do with what's on the table, Mr. Ford. So that's just my opinion, looking at the current information that's been presented to this commission, which is relative to the MC versus MN zoning that is on the table at this time.
So you're supporting MN?
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there for everybody to think, but I haven't decided yet.
All right. Any other discussion on this case? Commissioner Williams?
I'm not sure if Mr. Stanton's made up his mind yet, or if Mr. Stanton's made up his mind yet, but I think that this is where I'm coming down on this, is that we have a known good that we are trying to weigh up against a hypothetical negative in the future. And it was weighing more heavily on me that the abutting landowners support it until I think you astutely observed that to the extent that this is zoned MC, then the abutting property may be easier to zone MC later, and that might be a potentially beneficial to the landowners there. To the extent that they wish to later sell their property at MC, which then pushes the MC zoning closer to the residential neighborhoods north that are located on Nance Drive. But I think, so it's made more difficult by the fact that I think it's a clear good to have this space available to the Humane Society. I think the trouble is that it would be a much easier decision if it was zoned, if they'd agreed to the MN zoning. But I appreciate the business practicalities of not wanting to absorb donor funds in regularly redesigning and coming before the commission. So those are the things that I'm weighing out. And I wanted to share that with the commission in case it sparks any further thought with anyone else.
Any additional discussion? People are still collecting thoughts. I'm happy to jump in. I typically don't support upzoning to MC adjacent to residential, especially R1, if it's established, just because I do see that as a concentrated use that while we do have neighborhood protection standards in it, in the UDC, we usually step down the zoning between those zones. However, in this case, you do have all the neighbors abutting the property coming forward as supporting the zoning change. In addition, the inclusion of the CATSO local non-residential collector on the west side of the lot does appear to me to act much as Edenton Boulevard would on the east side as a buffer between the MC and MOF on that side and the residential. So I don't actually see rezoning this lot as MC as being a given that the lots due west would be upzoned, because I would consider that collector to potentially act as a buffer. I do see the lot to the north naturally already lending its way toward, since it's already on range line. So because of those conditions, I would actually support the MC zoning on this lot. Additional comments? Or are we ready to go to a motion? Commissioner Stanton?
Let's get it on.
Wait. Commissioner Placer has a comment.
Well, just my main question coming in here tonight was, why stick so vociferously to MC? What would be the reasoning, since many, many uses are allowable under MN? And now we have the Stanton theory that it's the real estate guys, and maybe sort of a domino effect all along there of everything going MC, even though the other three corners are MC, and so it could also, you could make a contextual argument that also makes sense. The other corners are, the one corner isn't developed yet, however. The Moser's is not the most intense, or like an industrial auto mechanics, whatever, use. Could be considered a neighborhood amenity. The bank, not that intrusive. The other thing, I'm not sure exactly what they do, but they are set pretty far back from the road. So whether it's contextual or political, I'm not sure. I'm still convinced why insist on MC when MN would have worked for this use. That's what raises the speculation that something else may be coming in that would want MC, although I can't imagine what it would be if there is an intention to stick with, well, at least a stated intention to stick with animal-related businesses. So I don't think my question has been addressed sufficiently. Why not MN?
I believe Mr. Crockett explained that the animal and veterinary services that they're seeking are not permitted under MN, so it's a conditional use permit, and one of their concerns is having to come back as they continue to develop the property, being it's a conditional, not permitted use, hence wanting to go with the MC. Any additional comments? Commissioner Stanton.
There's not any more questions. I'd like to entertain a motion, Madam Chair. As it relates to case 158-2024, request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of the Walter T. Soros, Dorothy M. Soros Family Trust, owner seeking approval to zone 18.262 acres to MC. I move to approve the rezoning to MC.
Second.
Moved. We have a motion moved by Commissioner Stanton, second by Commissioner Wilson. Any discussion on this motion? Commissioner Placer.
Do we need to say anything about contingent on annexation, or does that even need to be in the, okay.
Mr. Zenner shaking his head, no. If there's not, we will, no other questions, we'll take a vote. Commissioner Stanton, if we may have roll call, please.
Yes. Madam Chair, Ms. Lau?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Placer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ford?
Yes.
We have unanimous vote.
Six votes for, motion to approve supported and will be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to our next case for the evening, 159-2024, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Walter T. Sorrells and Ruth M. Sorrells Family Trust for approval of a one-lot preliminary plat to be known as Central Humane Society. The approximately 18.62-acre subject site is located northwest of the intersection of Brown School Road and Highway 763 and includes the address 1003 East Brown School Road. A concurrent request, case 158-2024, seeking to permanently zone the property to MC, subject to annexation, is also under consideration. This case was tabled at the Planning Commission's June 6, 24 meeting. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. So as you mentioned, this is case 159-2024, a preliminary plat to be named Central Humane Society. The site is currently five parcels and is requesting a one-lot preliminary plat of 18.62 acres of land. And public information postcards were distributed on the 22nd of May, of which there were seven. And again, this was for the original June 6 date before it was tabled. All right, this slide shows some aerial imagery of the site, again, to provide some spatial orientation. We've already discussed this largely from the last case, but it's northwest of the intersection of Highway 763 and East Brown School Road. It has a detention pond, as we've already discussed, around the middle of the site, and is presently accessed from East Brown School Road. So a little bit background information on the plat once more. Again, five parcels that were created by survey, and they're being consolidated into one lot. Four structures presently exist on the site, of which two are homes and two are sheds, and land is presently zoned County RS. As mentioned before and shown in the plot here, the site is encumbered by a floodplain, floodway, and stream buffer in the southeast corner of the lot. And then lastly, CATSO, as also has already been mentioned, has identified a local non-residential street running north-south on the site, which would connect to the planned White Tiger Street to the south, which was preliminarily platted to go through the Christensen The Line subdivision, which is the subdivision just south of this, which again has not been final platted and has not been constructed. Here's a closer look at the plat. You can see the four structures that are shown on the site and the floodplain, the right-of-way dedications. Yes. So additional right-of-way will also be dedicated on Brown School Road and Highway 763. It's 15 feet of additional right-of-way for, I'm not sure how long that runs, but for northern part of the site. And then a varying amounts of right-of-way are being dedicated to accommodate, expansion of Brown School Road here. And sewer is running across the southeast corner of the site within the floodplain. You can maybe see it. It's a little bit faint here, but it's green and has an S in it. So as I mentioned, there is more right-of-way being dedicated for Highway 763 and for Brown School Road. Regarding the CATSO major roadway plan, they've dedicated 33 feet of path width, for this, and that would accommodate the continuation of White Tiger Street to the south, which has been preliminarily platted but not final platted, as I've mentioned. And this is half of the necessary right-of-way, 66 feet of right-of-way is typically requested for local non-residential streets. The alignment of what has been preliminarily platted for that extension, you know, what they have proposed here, the center line would be about 125 feet, greater than 125 feet offset from what the center line for White Tiger is illustrated as on the Christensen DeLine subdivision. So that is, it would not create a point of conflict among vehicles. These intersections wouldn't be too close to each other that it would potentially create issue. Furthermore, the uses of land south of Brown Station Road and north of Smiley has more intense commercial uses than the land north of Brown Station, which abuts this site, which is mostly residential zoned and in the county. Having these streets offset may help segment future traffic more appropriately based on likely uses north and south of Brown School Road and avoid to use the northern leg of the local non-residential street for cut-through traffic. Access to the site exists from Brown School Road again. If access is requested at some point off of Highway 763, it will have to be permitted via MoDOT, and MoDOT has stated within internal reviews that they do not anticipate allowing changes to access on the site. I also want to note that a trail easement is being dedicated within the floodplain for Cow Creek, I believe, and but the exact location of that easement will be dedicated upon final platting. Per usual, the 10-foot standard utility easements are being dedicated along edges abutting right-of-way. There's an existing 12-inch water main along the eastern edge of the site, which runs more or less north-south with 763 there. And the site has access to city water, as mentioned previously, in the southeast portion of the site. They would connect to that sewer upon annexation. Electric is served by Boone Electric on the northern edge of the site, and any relocation of facilities would be at the expense of the developer. Ultimately, this site does not have any identified issues with service, and what has been proposed complies with the UDC. However, because of the nature of the permanent zoning request, staff cannot support the plat, as staff was not supporting the zoning. This determination is based on the fact that the land will not be considered inside the corporate limits with it being MC now, if the commission is supportive of the requested MC zoning and it's deemed appropriate and supported by the applicant as technical permanent zoning, the plat is technically compliant and could be recommended for approval. Is it staff's recommendation that we deny this? Sorry.
The published recommendation is denial. That was based upon the staff's recommendation of denial on the requested permanent zoning. It is in the commission's purview to consider their approval of the permanent zoning as MC. Reflective of its desire for this property to be annexed in a compliant fashion to allow for the plat to then also be approved. Our recommendation on the platting action is somewhat irrelevant at this point. It had to be produced based upon how we as a staff presented the zoning action. So the commission is entitled and is assured that the plat does meet all of the standard Unified Development Code requirements for recommendation of approval, and as such would be supported given the Planning Commission's action to have such approval granted by them and that recommendation forwarded to City Council if they desire.
Thank you.
Yeah, and any questions now? Apologies about that.
No, I'm just gonna check with the Commission again. We already did ex parte, but reconfirm no one's had any ex parte on this case that they want to share with the commission, so the commission has the benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. And seeing none, are there any questions for staff on this report? There are none. We'll move into public comment.
I'm Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. Have nothing else to add. You know, we're fine with staff report. We appreciate it with the revised recommendation. And so I think we've covered all the bases on the previous request. So if there's any, just want to open up if there's any questions of the applicant.
Any questions for the speaker? None. Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Any other speakers on this case? If there are none, we will close public comment. Commission discussion. Commissioner Stanton.
Madam Chair, if there's you or any of the other commissioners having no further questions, I'd like to entertain a motion. As it relates to case 159-2024, I move to approve the preliminary plat. Everything's kind of mixed up. Is that all I need to say?
Is that sufficient? Yes. Do we have a second on this motion?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Placer. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? I see none. Commissioner Stanton, may we have roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Myself? Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Placer?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Ward?
Yes.
Vote yes.
Thank you. The motion is supported. A recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That concludes our cases for the evening. This is our public comment period. If there's any additional public comments you want to make on the cases or in general. Seeing none, we're going to move on to staff comments.
As I promised, you have a break. You will not have a meeting on July 4th, so go celebrate our independence. I at least wore my tie today to do so, because we will not be here. Hopefully you made your vacation plans, and we'll be back relaxed and ready to do some more business with us on July 18th, because we do have a full agenda, as well as we will have probably a tantalizing work session discussion. Mr. Teddy is working to arrange the Central City consultant, H3, to come in and address the Planning and Zoning Commission as it relates to the activities that have been undertaken to date, as it relates to the Central City planning activity. And that'll most likely occupy our entire hour and a half time period, so we will not be discussing our lot integration project, which gives me a little bit of time to breathe. And collect my thoughts as it relates to the remaining outstanding standards that we are trying to work on, at least from the use specific side. It will also give me an opportunity to not overwhelm two new staff members that will be joining us, hopefully for the July 18th meeting. We have been recently successful in securing, filling two of our vacancies, our two planner vacancies, so you may see my black hair return from gray, and a little bit more productivity as it relates to what we discuss in our work sessions, because I will have hopefully a greater amount of time to focus on those bigger issues. But we do have cases, and as many of you are aware, June 1, the effective date of our short-term rental ordinance became real after many years, and what I had indicated at our last meeting, that I thought we had three CUP cases, actually materialized into one. Of the three that we had received, one was more of a commentary question as it related to our application. One was actually a resident occupied R1, which directly goes to our neighborhood services staff in order to do their evaluation and issue a short-term certificate of rental compliance. Following the article or chapter 22 requirements. And then the other one is actually a conditional use. So it will be our first conditional use application. Some of the conditional use questions we will not be able to fully answer, given that we don't have all data that we need to provide answers to all of those conditional uses. So do not be surprised when you see that staff report. And the one question I am speaking specifically of is the number of short-term rentals within 300 feet of the subject site. We do not have that data available at this point. We are still working through some issues as it relates to business licensing and accommodation tax collection, which would be the backbone for outside services that would help us be able to identify those uses. So right now, This is the only application that we have, and we'll know more as we get additional information as to who has not registered that may be around this dwelling unit in the future. So you are five cases that we have. We have what we refer to as the twofer process. We have a rezoning request and a preliminary plat. This property has come before the Planning Commission previously for platting. This is off of Creasy Springs Road, just south of the curve that's referred to as Dead Man's Curve, just before you get up to the back entry into Blue Ridge Drive on the backside of Vanderveen. This is a very large tract down in the lowlands, just north of where Bear Creek, the Bear Creek Trail access is off of Creasy Springs. Preliminary plat and a request to go from from A to R2 with the intent of doing, I believe, R2 scale sized lots, potentially cottage sized lots in a section of that development through the current Board of Adjustment process. So that will be a public hearing and a subdivision request held in tandem. And then you have three public hearings, standard public hearings, the 400 clink scales is the STR application. This is directly across from West Boulevard Elementary, if I'm not incorrect, or Middle, West Middle. And so that is, this home is right almost in front of the drop-off lanes. We have a request off of 1611 Commerce Court. This is a small court that is off of Vandiver to the west of Range, to the west of Range Line, south of 70. If any of you are familiar with this general area, the Mockins Automobile Dealership repair facilities are at the very end of Commerce Court, and then Beyond Meat is actually right on the curve coming into this particular area. This is an uncommon request. This is MC to MBP. MBP is a land use category that we don't see a tremendous amount of. That is mixed use business park. Mr. Koontz has this request, and just as a little bit of a preface of what it is about, the user at 1611 Commerce is, while compliant with the zoning of MC, there is a concern that the change of use in that building may not make it compliant with a future user that is doing something similar, and therefore the applicant is seeking to ensure that the idea of doing storage within the facility that is there, it's currently a clothing business that basically brings in clean clothes and ships them out during the day to uniforms and things of that nature. They do not do any cleaning on site, so they would like a zoning category that would actually permit them to be compliant with that storage use. The MC district does not allow storage, warehousing or storage. The MBP district is almost identical in many respects to MC, and Mr. Koontz will do what he did this evening, I believe, and that's provide the comparison. There are very few uses that would be permitted. The applicant originally wanted IG for this property. We talked them off the ledge, so to speak, and said that that was a little bit too intense for a single already developed parcel that you could get a letter of compliance on. MBP was the compromise, and that is why that this request is coming in. It will appear as though it's a spot on the zoning map, but in many respects, the MBP district is as similar to MC as you can get. This particular applicant also came before this body asking us to make some changes to the MBP zoning district 2 years ago in order to potentially help manage a little bit of the lack of diversity between MBP, IG, and MC. We have never taken that back up again. This may be the poster child for why, if we had taken action a couple of years ago, we may not be here today. However, this is a solution to solve the immediate problem, not one that we want to do a comprehensive overhaul of our zoning classifications on. We're already in the middle of one of them. And then finally, the last request on the agenda is 4414 Smith Drive. This is immediately south of our commercial development on the corner of Smith and Scott, Westbury. I apologize, I was blanking on the name, but this is a vacant, or not a vacant, it is a property that's improved with a single family home. And they are seeking to go from R1 to MOF in order to assist in allowing for some development of the property in order to meet an immediate need that the applicant has with a family member that is on the property, as well as to position the property into the future with zoning that they believe to be appropriate south of the Scott Boulevard right-of-way. Mr. Smith has that one also. So it'll be Mr. Palmer on the first two. I will do the STR, and then Mr. Kuntz will finish up the last two, and we will hopefully be able to introduce two new staff members to you during this meeting as well. So you can familiarize yourself with where Dead Man's Curve is, if you're not familiar, as well as the properties that are off of Creasy Springs. That is shown here on the graphic in front of you, as well as our other three sites. And with that, that is all we have to offer for upcoming casework. I would like to extend the gratitude of the staff for the opportunity to have worked with Mr. Ford. This is his last meeting, technically. We did have an appointment that occurred on Monday of this week. Bob Walters will be joining our staff, or joining the commission, I should say, as a commission member on July 18th. That will be his first official meeting. We will welcome him aboard as well. And again, we extend our greatest appreciation to Mr. Ford for his services for the short period of time, and wish you the best of luck in your next chapter in life. And I would like to extend my appreciation to the commissioners for all showing up as close to 5:30 as you could, so we could begin our meeting and the robust discussion again that we had as it relates to the use-specific standard discussion and UDC amendments for small lots. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. I'm sure the commissioners wish to join staff in thanking Mr. Ford for joining us in our endeavors at the dais up here and in the workroom. Thank you. We've appreciated your company and benefited from it. So we will miss you, but appreciate your spending time with us. Mr. Stanton.
Are you getting to commissioner comments yet?
We are in commissioner comments, sorry. I just sort of segued into
that. Mr. Ford, you have been a pleasure and a wonderful antagonist. It's good to have people that don't think the same and don't have the same opinions and come from different points of view. But I would say, you're gone now, so it doesn't matter. But I will say that anything that comes out of my mouth in particular, and any mouth of any commissioner up here, has value and has relevance. And we have to be careful not to devalue each other's opinion or positions. I know you're gone, so good luck to you in your future endeavors. So what I'm going to say to you really doesn't matter today, but don't you ever disrespect me while I have the floor when I'm talking about particular items on the agenda. Love you to death. Hope to see you in the future. Hope we can do business. Okay. Good. Thank you.
I will entertain motions.
Just make I move that we adjourn. Comment.
I'd
just like to thank Williams. Mr. Kuntz and the staff. I don't know how often it is, being new, that you make a recommendation to not approve something and it goes the other direction, but I know that you all work very hard and have been understaffed, and so I certainly wouldn't want tonight to be any taken as any sort of reflection of your work or what you're doing. I appreciated the report and the recommendation, and it was a so I wanted to just say that on the record. Thank you for your work and what you did in preparing the report that you did.
Thank you very much, sir. It is our responsibility to provide you an unbiased opinion as it relates to our thoughts as professionals. We also respect the position of the commission in having to interpret the information that has been provided not only by staff from a technical perspective, but also that from the public. And weighing that is the duty of this body placed upon you by City Council. So we do not take anything personally. We are always here to answer questions, should you have them, and provide advice as requested. So tonight's outcome was one that we anticipated possibly coming, and so it does not surprise us. The facts went where the facts went. So I appreciate your understanding and the position that we're placed in, But don't worry, it won't change how our staff approaches anything in the future. Ask Mr. Stanton, ask Ms. Lowe.
We appreciate staff's recommendations, yes. And we do understand what you're evaluating and all the work that goes into them.
Well, and it made it much more of a thoughtful deliberation process to have to wrestle with all that.
I believe Commissioner Wilson had started a motion, but did not have a second.
Second.
With that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.